Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we're still in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I suppose you wonder, Phil, am I going to get through that chapter? Yes, I am. I trust we'll be through it today. However, I can't say for sure. You know, when a person gets into some of these truths, it's very difficult to leave them. We've been dealing with the fact that the gospel was guaranteed by the resurrection of our Savior, the beginning of chapter 15. And then we had the fact of resurrection, of how our Lord, if he was not raised from the dead, we haven't anything. This was because of the question raised in the Corinthian church. There were some in that church who were questioning the resurrection from the dead. And so he takes it up negatively. If Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, and again I must say, I'm talking about physical resurrection. If our Savior was not raised from the dead with a body that was put in the tomb, that body which was nailed to the cross, then we haven't anything. Our preaching is no good. There's no such thing as resurrection. When we're dead, we're dead. That's what Paul is saying. Our faith is no good, vain. And all those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we haven't anything. Then you come to the positive side. But now is Christ risen from the dead. He takes up the value of that, the fact of the resurrection. Then we have the effect of the resurrection, where it calls for you and for me to live a life of righteousness and witnessing for the Lord. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. And then we have the footage of resurrection, because another question has been raised in verse 35. When someone asks the question, okay, how are the dead raised up? And what kind of a body do they have when they are raised? When the body goes to dust, sometimes it's scattered. There have been bodies in the grave now for centuries. The dust is gone. How are you going to raise them from there? Who's going to raise them? And you know the marvelous thing, Paul just says, well, I'll tell you what, God's going to do it. And if God doesn't do it, it'll never be done. And if God doesn't reveal it to us, you'll never know. For he's talking about something that the human mind can't fathom, nor can the human mind work it out. With all our ingenuity, with all the capacity of man, you won't be able to know how or who will raise the dead and how they're going to be raised. And you'll never know unless God reveals it. And this is what Paul says. You're a foolish person. Don't you know what you put in the ground first dies and then up comes the fruitage? You put a grain of wheat into the ground, it comes up wheat. You put barley in the ground, comes up barley. And so on. You put the body in the ground, what's going to come up? The same kind of a body, only transformed. And I read in verse 38, God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. And my friend, that's the answer. If God doesn't reveal it, you'll never know. We have certain kinds of flesh. Animals have certain kind of flesh. Fish have certain kinds of flesh. Birds have certain kind of flesh, etc., etc. There are bodies celestial, there are bodies terrestrial. There are bodies fitted for heaven and bodies that are limited to the earth. I've got a body in which I'm living now which is limited to the earth. One of these days, God's going to change it. It'll be able to inhabit eternity, just like the Savior. My, what a salvation is this. Not only to put away our sins, not only to forgive us every transgression, not only to pronounce us righteous and give us life eternal, make us his children, but guarantees we're going to spend eternity with him. With him. Oh, what a prospect. No wonder the early church, these Thessalonian idolaters who were turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, they waited for his Son from heaven who had delivered them from the coming wrath. But which Son from heaven? The one whom he raised from the dead. That's the 10th verse of the 1st chapter of Thessalonians. Now, we come to the victory of resurrection. And this is verse 51. Listen to these words. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? It's gone. O grave, where is your victory? There isn't any. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just stop here. Behold, I show you a mystery, something that was unknown before. By the way, if you want some study sometime, you take your Bible and study the mysteries in the New Testament. Behold, I show you a mystery, not mysterious, but something that was unknown before, not revealed before. You don't find this in the Old Testament. Something new. Just like you have in Ephesians chapter 3, the mystery of the church, which is made up of Jews and Gentiles. It was a mystery, not known in the Old Testament. It was known, of course, that the Gentiles were going to be blessed through the Jew. That's Old Testament truth. But that the Jew and the Gentile who put their trust in the Savior would be having the same life, the same position, the same inheritance, the same union with the Savior. That's something entirely new. So is this. Behold, I show you something that has never been known before. What is it? We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. See? Now, he's just said here, in verse 50, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is, our present bodies are unfitted for eternal glory. But they must be changed. But how are they going to be changed? Here's something that is absolutely unknown before. Listen to it. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is, we shall not all die. We're all going to be changed. You see, friends, this word sleep, if I can just use the word as it's used here in Scripture, speaking of death, you remember in John chapter 11, our Lord said to the disciples about Lazarus, he sleepeth. Oh, they said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, that's good for him. He doeth well. And the Lord said to them, I tell you plainly, Lazarus is dead. But I go to awake him out of his sleep. We shall not all die. We shall not all sleep. There's a generation of Christians going to be on the earth who will never taste of death. Now remember, all in Adam die. All in Christ are going to be made alive, but every man his own order. May I just say one or two things about this? You know, when a Christian dies, when a Christian falls asleep, the body is put in the grave, but the person goes immediately into the presence of his Savior. We say, good night, earth, good morning, glory. For example, some of my family are in glory. Some of your family are in glory. As a pastor, I have laid to one side hundreds of people here in Portland, Christians who have died. And I've been jealous of them because they're now having an experience I've never had. They have seen the Savior face to face. This is what Paul means in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, when he said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. A Christian is in one of two places. He's either at home in the body and absent from the Lord, or he is absent from the body and present with the Lord. It's what Paul means in Philippians 1:23 when Paul says, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I would like to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But when I think of you Christians on earth, I think I better stay for a while. That's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1. In other words, the moment I leave this scene, I go right into the very presence of the Savior. While I am talking to you, there are Christians who are leaving this earth. They're leaving their bodies. Their bodies are put in the grave. And they go right into the very presence of the Savior. They say, good night, earth, good morning, glory. But there's a time coming when God's going to have his people on earth, and they're not going to see death. Listen to it. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Allow me to quote from Thessalonians chapter 4, that amazing passage from verses 13 to 17, when Paul wrote, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, who have died, that we sorrow not as the rest which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go ahead of those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now notice, then we who are alive and remain, that is, those of us on the earth who are still Christian, who are Christians still living on the earth when the Lord comes, we shall join those who have been raised from the dead and shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to be forever with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what the Lord has in mind in John 14. You remember when he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many abiding places, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. This is not death. This is not an angel. Jesus says, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The last trump. In an indivisible part of time. Oh, but someone says the last trump. That's way over in Revelation, the last trump. Now, don't bring that over to Revelation. That hadn't been written yet. It was many, many years after Paul wrote this passage in Corinthians, before John wrote in the book of Revelation. The Lord's going to come with a trump of God. That's the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise. We together with them, reunited, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You see, what Jesus was saying to his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm going to come again. My departure, this separation, is only a temporary one. And when I lay my loved ones in the grave, it's only a temporary separation. I'm going to see them. And when I see them the next time, there never again will be a separation. Oh, what joy, what delight should we go without dying. This is what the writer says. Oh, joy, oh, delight should we go without dying. No sickness, no sadness, no sorrow, no crying. Caught up. No wonder John could say, hurry up, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Notice what it says. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. We're going to be changed. I know when people say, Mr. Mitchell, when I look at you, I'm so glad you're going to be changed. Yes, I'm going to be changed. And 53 to 54 gives us that transformation. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Those who are dead are going to have incorruptible bodies. This mortal must put on immortality. Immortality, no death. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. My, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, my Christian friend, you and I have already in us the power that's going to transform this body. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you and me. I quoted that verse a while ago in Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now some people say that means healing, healing of the body. He's not even dealing with that. He's talking about something far more important than that. Even those who You folk who believe in healing, I believe in healing. God has healed bodies. We've all seen that. And I've buried them too, and so have you, maybe. Every generation one goes and comes and goes, generation after generation. God does this and God does that, but the generation passes on. But there's a time coming when the Lord Jesus is going to come from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And you and I are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, to be forever with the Lord. And somebody's going to say in verse 35, with what body shall they come? Ah, they're going to come with incorruptible bodies, immortal bodies. We're going to be like him, like the body he had after resurrection. Allow me to give you a couple of three verses to delight your heart. In Romans 8:29, you remember that amazing passage? God has determined that we shall be conformed to the image of his Son. 1 John 3:1-3. Beloved, now are we the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Same thing in Philippians 3:20-21. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these bodies of humiliation and shall fashion them like unto his body of glory, according to the power whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. You know, even the psalmist in the 17th Psalm, the last verse, could say, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. In 1 Corinthians 3:18, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are being changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. If contemplation of Christ now changes us in our lives, what will it be when we see him? Blessed be God, we're going to see him as he is. I'm not surprised that Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Or in 2 Corinthians 4, at the end of the chapter, 16-18, these light afflictions are just for a moment. They're working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Marvelous, is it not? Now verses 55 to the end, verse 57. We have the victory. The victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. Strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of that verse in Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. You know what it is? I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Repentance shall be hid from thine eyes. The sting of death is gone. Death is defeated. Do you remember Revelation 1:18? I am the first. I am the last. Jesus is talking. I am he that was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the authority of death and of hell. Jesus, my Savior, has the authority over death and of hell. And do you think he's going to allow one of his children to go to hell? No. Or to be defeated by death? Oh, no. Death can't touch the believer until the Lord says, come on home. My friend, I'm immortal till my job's finished. You are immortal, believer in Christ, until your job is finished. And when our job is finished, he's going to say, come on home. See, death's under his authority. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? It's gone. The Lord has defeated both death and the grave. The sting of death is sin. As Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The strength of sin is the law. Oh, I thought the law was a strength of righteousness. No, the law demands righteousness. Nobody's ever made good by keeping the law. The law doesn't make you good. The law demands perfection. The strength of sin is the law. The law stirs up sin. I suggest you read Romans chapter 7. You want to follow that through. The law demands righteousness. The law demands you be perfect. If you break the law on one point, you're guilty of all, and death is your portion. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, we have one who giveth us the victory. And now the appeal. And I'm going to close with this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor in the Lord is not vain. And as we contemplate these wonderful truths in chapter 15 of Corinthians, we want to stand firm, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not vain in the Lord. My, what an encouragement. Let me just close. You know, we are worshiping, we serve a risen Christ. Marvelous thing. Whatever the world may do, whatever the world may say, we serve a risen Christ. And one of these days, even death is going to be defeated. In fact, it is defeated, and we'll experience that transformation. And I want the Lord to come today. I've got no right to say he won't come today. He may come today, friend. Are you ready? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the day of grace is through. I plead with any who is not Christians. If you've never received the Savior, my friend, I offer you not a dead Christ, but a living Christ. One who did die to put away your sin. But one who lives forever for you and for me. May you indeed accept the Savior and believer in Christ, live today in anticipation of seeing him whom, having not seen, we love. He may come today. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.